Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Heart of Iron by Waldo Rodriguez. Narrated by B.J. Harrison. Chapter 1. Empty. Gabriel turned his satchel inside out. There wasn't a single crumb of food left inside. Luna flopped onto her back, splayed out on the snow-covered forest floor. Her stomach growled.
"We're going to die,"
she whined. Luca flopped down beside his sister. Lost, starving, and freezing. Alexander glared down at the pair of Broken Moon tribesmen.
"Some savages you two turned out to be.
One day without food will not kill you. Rivera and I had to endure far worse conditions in our training."
Gabriel gave a small grin, clipping his satchel onto the belt of his broken armor. If it could even be called armor, with how little protection it provided.
"We had a couple of weeks without food or drink beyond what we could find. Jensen was a real dick about rubbing it in, too."
Alexander's stomach growled at the memory.
"Eating those disgusting ration bars right in front of us like they were a delicacy. I would not mind having a few of those in our current predicament."
Gabriel walked up to Luna and Luca. "Laying around and whining isn't going to get us any closer to our goals." He offered them his hands up. "The Ishgalians aren't going to find themselves." Luna gave a slow, tight nod.
"Okay. But if we have to go much longer like this, you're carrying me."
"Deal," Gabriel said. Luca rubbed along his stomach, taking the lead as he headed north.
"I can't believe it's been a whole month after that mess at the dome.
And to think we did not even have cake to celebrate Rivera's birthday,"
Alexander added. Gabriel pulled up the date on his heads-up display. February 14th, 7184. His birthday had been back on the 31st of January, a fair bit after they escaped the domed city and Soten's demon world by the skin of their teeth.
"Hey, Drownrun steak makes for a hell of a birthday cake," Gabriel argued. "Getting that kill was nothing short of impressive, looking at the hot mess we are."
Alexander grimaced, inspecting the state of his armor.
"Do not remind me."
"The chest plate was caved in and pierced in several places from the showdown with the demon Soten. His thrusters were completely useless throughout his suit. The only real protection he had was his boots, his right arm's gauntlet, and what remained of his power armor's frame, if he could catch an attack on it. Beneath the layer of armor, his nanomusculature was mostly intact. It was enough to provide Alexander with benefits to his strength and agility if he removed the broken plating. Sadly, the battered state of his armor reduced the nanomusculature's effectiveness to the point where it only removed the burden of carrying his broken gear. While the lack of protection and thrusters they'd come to rely on was an issue, the biggest problem was the noise. Broken metal plates ground and squealed against one another now and again, making it impossible to sneak up on anything.
"These suits are little more than warning systems now when we make camp," Alexander said. "We had to hunt those Drownrun with nothing but our nano-weave suits and our abilities." He thrust a finger at Gabriel. "And you, being the absolute madman that you are, took that thing out to battle."
Gabriel followed Alexander's finger to his spear. He'd taken the broken nanoblade, an oversized shiv more like, and strapped it onto the end of a spear haft he'd carved up using Alexander's nanotool.
"Hey, just because it's a little short and nubby doesn't mean it doesn't work."
Luca burst out laughing.
"Well, at least he gets that one," Gabriel commented.
Luna stared at them, her eyebrow raised in a crooked way.
Alexander shook his head.
"It amazes me that thing has not fallen off at an inopportune time."
Gabriel pointed a thumb back at Luca.
"I've had a lot of practice fixing spears."
Luca opened his mouth, then shut it. He quickly crossed his arms and looked away.
"You're welcome, I guess."
Gabriel smirked, but decided not to give him a hard time. "Let's quiet down, people. We
We don't know if we're scaring anything away with all the noise we're making.
Your armor isn't helping at all, Luna said.
Gabriel's own armor wasn't doing much better than Hartford's. His right arm's plating was completely gone. His chest plate was more of the suggestion of protection than any actual defense, with all the holes and grooves carved through its synth steel from dealing with Soten. The main thruster unit on his back had been completely crushed when the demon smashed Gabriel into a wall, and other than his feet, his legs were almost entirely without armor. Only his left arm had any respectable protection, with its battle-scarred plating. Luckily, the nanomusculature and nanoweave component of his armor worked in tandem to keep him warm in the frozen forest. Better yet, his armor didn't impede the enhancements granted by the nanomusculature suit underneath. As soon as we find the other reclaimers, we'll be able to borrow some nanopaste off them, Gabriel insisted. He didn't let on his hope that they found Nicole first among all the others. Luna may have forgiven Luca for outing her crush on Gabriel, but Gabriel doubted she had forgiven him for turning her down.
That is assuming they have not yet burned through their supply, Alexander said. We used all of our stim packs, combat stims, and nanopaste injectors within a few days of making Planetfall. I doubt the others are in much better of a situation.
Maybe, Gabriel agreed. But they didn't have me leading them into suicidal mission after suicidal mission. Kelrathi hives, cult cities, demon realms, Luca listed off. I think we've had a little too much of following our chosen angel's lead for one lifetime. Luna slapped her brother's arm.
Luca!
Luca pulled away from his sister, rubbing his arm.
It was a joke!
Gabriel laughed. I'd like to avoid putting you all in danger like that for a good long while, too. At least until we can get our gear fixed. He stopped, dead in his tracks. Luca glanced back at him. What's wrong, Gabriel?
Yes, Rivera. What is...
Alexander stopped as well. His brow tightened. His eyes darted around the forest.
What was that?
What was what?
Luna asked. I don't see or feel anything. Gabriel narrowed his gaze, glancing at their surroundings. That's exactly the problem. There's no mana in the air. For that matter, there wasn't any in the trees ahead of them. It was a phenomenon Gabriel had been ignoring for some time now. The forest had all sorts of beautiful trees glowing with blue and green mana. Nearly every single trunk and branch shared this glow in the forest they found themselves in after escaping Soten's demon world. Over time, the number of those trees decreased, as did the amount of mana in the air. At first, Gabriel thought this might have been a consequence of him practicing his mana siphoning and cycling. But this was a hard cutoff, like something or someone had stolen all the mana in the forest.
Huh. You're right, Gabriel, Luna said. I can't feel any mana around us at all.
I thought you and Luca would have noticed first, Gabriel said. The two tribals had grown up in a world full of mana, after all. The way he understood the magical substance now, it felt like going from an oxygen-rich environment into the vacuum of space. Luca rubbed the back of his neck.
I guess we kind of took it for granted.
Rivera, Alexander called. How are your injuries?
Injuries? I'm green across the board, Hartford, Gabriel replied.
Not those ones, Alexander scolded him.
Gabriel grimaced. He pulled up his status window.
Gabriel Rivera. Specialization, reconnaissance, command. Arcanist status, awakened. Rank, B7. Strength, 5, minus 1. Progress toward next rank, 45%. Agility, 5, minus 1. Progress toward next rank, 39%. Endurance, 6, minus 1. Progress toward next rank, 13%. Willpower, 7, minus 1. Progress toward next rank, 30%. Intellect, 3, minus 1. Progress toward next rank, 61%. Charisma, 4, minus 1. Progress toward next rank, 78%.
That's different, Gabriel thought. The anomalous status section had changed to arcanist status instead.
That was my doing, sir,
Murphy spoke in Gabriel's mind.
In accordance with your belief, and very much provable fact that anomalous individuals are the norm rather than an outlier, I changed it to arcanist status.
Thanks, Murph, Gabriel thought, and turned his thoughts back to the problem at hand. When Soten nearly killed him, Gabriel did everything he could to stay alive. That meant leeching off as much tainted demon mana as he could and flooding his body with it. The boost in power allowed him to cling to life, healing himself from fatal wounds that would have killed a lesser man. His gamble paid off, but it came with consequences. All of Gabriel's attributes had received a one-rank penalty due to Soten's corruption. The good news thus far was that it hadn't spread. The bad news was that even when Gabriel spent an entire day focusing solely on purifying himself, all he managed to do was burn away at the corruption's edges. Soten was far stronger than Zalazar had ever been, sure. But Zalazar had at least been fully banished from their world through the reckless application of Morgun. Soten, on the other hand, was very much still with them. Crippled and unconscious, but alive, thanks to Tenebris's greed, ruining their chance to finish the job.
Same as before, was all the answer Gabriel gave. Then I will take point from here on out, Alexander said. I still have most of my equipment anyway.
Gabriel wanted to argue, but he knew Alexander was right. Out of the two of them, he was currently in the better position to fend off any threats that might come their way. Ever since the corruption latched onto his body and soul, Gabriel had felt sluggish in both body and mind. Even the mana flowing out to fuel his abilities had to fight its way through the corruption to do anything, and the results were always lacking compared to what Gabriel was used to. Alexander may have fallen a little behind Gabriel in the rankings, but someone at a rank of B2 was nothing to underestimate.
We're right behind you, Hartford, Gabriel agreed. Luna, Luca, keep to the middle and keep your eyes open.
Your new amplified and piercing shot abilities may give your Ares rifle a lot of extra punch, but if something ate all the mana here, it might be able to steal it right out of those attacks. Luna gave a sharp squeal and hugged her rifle to her chest. Luca nodded. If such a beast exists, then we will probe its defenses before we overcommit to any tactics. Gabriel smiled. Luca may have basically been from the Stone Age, but he certainly had the mind of a hunter. It was only because of Luca's extensive knowledge of hunting creatures in their new world that Alexander and Gabriel had such an easy time taking out so many of the creatures they encountered without the use of their power armor. And Luca was no slouch either.
Luca, specialization, not applicable. Arcanist status, dormant. Rank, C1. Strength, 3. Agility, 4. Endurance, 4. Willpower, 3. Intellect, 1. Charisma, 1.
Luca's attributes were solid when it came to the physical aspects, but it was his skills that granted him the rank of C1. From talking with him, and Murphy's constant refinement of his scanning algorithms, Gabriel was able to get a pretty solid read on his attributes. Naturally, Luca was a skilled warrior and hunter. He wasn't great with people unless it meant intimidating them, and when it came to utilizing mana, he was far better at kinetic abilities, such as Dancing Blade, rather than pathic ones like sensing the shifts in mana around them, or Luna's ability to glimpse possible futures.
How are you liking the upgrades to my scanning algorithm?
Murphy asked. They're pretty fantastic, Gabriel admitted. I'm still not sure how you can rate someone's willpower, intellect, or charisma, though, Gabriel said.
Those are rough estimations, Murphy replied. The rankings are further refined with prolonged observation, but the current version should provide a decently accurate representation of your subject's abilities. I am still working on improving on the skill ranking aspect of the algorithm, but rest assured, I shall have something within the year."
Gabriel nodded to his AI companion and left him to it. He had more pressing concerns at the moment, like whatever killed the forest. Well, kill might not be the right word. The trees were still very much alive. Beneath the tufts of snow, the tree trunks didn't look weak or brittle. A quick scan with his suit systems confirmed as much. The trees were alive and healthy, but utterly drained of mana. Gabriel imagined the forest would recover in time, if whatever passed through was dealt with. The question was, what had it been?
"Rivera, come up here," Alexander called.
Gabriel walked up to his side cautiously, trying to keep his armor from scraping or grinding.
"What is it?"
Alexander carefully pushed a snow-covered branch aside, revealing the ruins of a city beyond the tree line. Whatever the buildings had been, they weren't the fortified megastructures of the coastline. They were far smaller. Or maybe that was simply what was left of them. Roughly a dozen structures still stood, the tallest of which was 20 stories tall. Most of the others were somewhere around 5 to 8. All of them had taken a great deal of damage to the ravages of time. But with all the snow caking them, it was impossible to tell if the buildings had been caught up in the war against the pack. "A small city?" Gabriel asked.
"Drax,"
Alexander whispered, pointing out the snow. Gabriel's eyes widened. It wasn't just a single set of tracks, but hundreds, maybe thousands of them, rushing across the snow-covered ruins. They were varied, too. From the slithering track of a snake-like creature, to that of clawed feet, and even those that would better fit a bug of some kind. There were too many of them clustered too erratically to be any one creature. "What the hell happened here?" Gabriel whispered.
"Maybe whatever is responsible for the forest being drained of mana," Alexander said. "Luca, Luna, come take a look."
Luca was the first to reach them and look.
"Whoa, that is quite a large herd, I think."
He furrowed his brow. "Though these tracks are too far varied to be a herd."
"Anything you recognize about them?" Gabriel asked.
Luca shook his head.
"They're similar to several creatures I know, but not quite right. I can't identify these, but it seems they were heading west, maybe northwest of here."
Gabriel glanced over to Luna.
"Anything you can pick up?"
Luna shook her head.
"I can't sense any mana at all, not even a trail of it. Ours I can pick up easily enough, though. Do you think these creatures can hide their trail?"
"A natural course for evolution to take," Alexander said, and stepped past the tree line into the open. "If we could hide our own auras, I would feel considerably more comfortable trying to skulk about these ruins."
Gabriel followed him. "Sorry about that. Flaring out your aura is easy, but suppressing it, I haven't quite figured out yet. Haven't really had the time yet, really."
"Surviving and keeping that corruption at bay are far more important tasks, Rivera," Alexander said. "Luna, have your visions given you any clue of what happened here?"
"Nothing at all," Luna said. "But if we can stop, I can try to take a better look. I can't promise anything clear, though."
"I am aware," Alexander said. "Our food situation is a little too precarious to justify prolonging our stay. We press on."
Alexander led them through the ruins. He headed north and took an eastward direction at every chance he could get. It was clear to Gabriel he was trying to avoid any run-ins with the horde of monsters. That would be easier said than done if another horde came through town, though.
Every single street and ruin they came across had more of the monster tracks coming across them. Far too many for it to have been a simple herd. "Do you think they were running from something?" Luna asked. "Stampedes like this happened back home, though they were rare."
Alexander gave a slow nod.
"Animals do tend to have a far greater sense of danger than even us humans. Even in the old world, such phenomena were not unheard of before natural disasters struck."
"Maybe," Gabriel admitted. "But where's the disaster? Other than the tracks and ruins, everything here looks undisturbed."
Something that can clear an entire forest of mana sounds like a disaster to me, Luna said.
Fair. But we can't rule out this being some sort of monster horde, Gabriel said. If we can siphon mana, I'm sure there's things out there that can do the same.
It could be, Luca replied. Certain races like the Kelrathi have been known to build up to great numbers and attack human settlements. But this doesn't look like any one species of monster. They're too varied for that.
Gabriel pursed his lips. True enough.
Have you ever heard any stories of someone raising a monster army?
Luca furrowed his brow.
A monster army? That would be ridiculous.
You live in a world where angels, demons, and giant insects are a reality, Luca. Alexander began. How is someone having the audacity to raise an army of monsters the ridiculous concept here?
Luca opened his mouth, then shut it. I haven't heard anything of the sort, but I suppose it is possible.
Wouldn't be the first time humanity has tried to figure out how to weaponize animals, Gabriel commented.
But this is definitely looking a lot more effective than anything I've heard of. Let's hope we can stay out of their way. I don't think we're ready to take on a force this big.
A strange, haunted sound reverberated through the air, like a ghostly air raid siren. It shifted in pitch, irregularly drifting from high to low.
Chapter 2. The sound slowed and quickened, seemingly at random, but there was also a distinct pattern to it. The sky shifted from white and pale blue to bloody red, orange, and brilliant flashes of blue. Gabriel and the others sat there, watching in awe of the beautiful sight. The second cracks spiderwebbed across the heavens, Gabriel's stomach sank. The haunted siren grew louder. The ground shook beneath their feet. Lightning cracked in the distance. An overwhelming sense of unease washed over Gabriel. His mind crawled, like he'd just buried his head in an anthill. Something was wrong. Luna stumbled forward onto all fours.
We have to go!
She practically screamed as she clawed her way back to her feet.
Go? What? Why?
Luca asked.
Shelter now, questions later,
Luna yelled, already halfway down the street. She was headed for the largest and sturdiest of the ruins.
Alexander pushed Luca forward. Get a move on. We can't let your sister run off on her own.
Right.
Luca took off after her, with Alexander close behind. Gabriel chased after them, his eyes locked on the spider-webbing cracks, expecting them to split open at any moment. They didn't. Instead, spheres of blue energy swirled about in the sky. They gathered together, building to a brilliant, hot white glow, then discharged like an explosion of electricity. Pillars of light slammed into the ground below, just as much as they flew toward the heavens. Shockwaves of light and force rippled across the air. Whatever was going on, Gabriel didn't want any part of it. He turned his full attention to the path ahead and sprinted as fast as his legs could carry him. Luna was the first to reach the ruined building. She smashed into doors that refused to budge. Luckily, she didn't have to force them open.
This way!
Luca pulled his sister off the door and threw her through a snow-covered gap in the wall.
What?
Was all that Luna managed to get out before crashing through to the inside of the building. Luca scrambled in after her.
Rivera, pick up the pace!
Alexander called out before he clambered in after Luca. Gabriel leaned his body forward, pouring all the speed he could into the run. He'd grown far too comfortable relying on his thrusters to amplify his speed. Already his thighs burned from sprinting harder than he ever had before. The squeals and scrapes of metal against metal grew powerful enough to send sparks trailing behind him. Just as he was about to make it through the wall, one of the spheres of light decided to form right above him. It felt like someone was taking nails to a chalkboard, and his mind was the chalkboard. Gabriel shook out his head. The crawling sensation over his mind intensified. His eyes watered as his vision blurred to double. The haunted siren built up to a high pitch above him. Then the sphere erupted. The discharge of energy slammed into the street beside Gabriel.
The shockwave hit him before he knew it was happening. Gabriel sailed across the air, crashing through the snow. His vision spun faster than his body did. He was seeing triple. No, he saw far more than that. His head kicked like someone had just ran him over with a prowler tank, then parked the thing on top of his skull. He dragged air into his lungs with hard, quivering, almost gasping breaths. He swore he heard voices in the distance, but he couldn't make heads or tails of them. What he could see far clearer than he wanted to was the Tankle Hunter hauling him up to his feet. The monstrous crab claws dug into his armor, its dead black eyes on its stalks locked on him. Its disgusting mouth opened and closed, ready to eat him.
"Get away from me," Gabriel growled,
pushing the Tankle aside. That was easy. Far too easy. Gabriel didn't have time to think. The Tankle ran back to him and clasped him by the shoulders. It shook him. Gabriel shortened his grip on his spear and locked his gaze on the Tankle. There wasn't anywhere good he could stab it except the holes in its chest armor. He drew back on his spear. The horrendous siren built up above him once more. The pressure on his mind built like something was pushing the Tankle down on top of him. He had to end this now, before whatever was happening struck him again. Gabriel thrust his spear. The Tankle caught his arm at the wrist and spoke.
"What in the hell do you think you are doing, Rivera? We have to go!"
It was no Tankle. It was Alexander.
Alex? What's going on?
Gabriel asked, his voice coming out in a slurred tremor. He blinked, seeing the Tankle before him shift to his friend, then back to the horrendous crab monster, then back again. A voice in the distance shouted something, but he couldn't make it out. Hartford took hold of Gabriel and dragged him toward the wall.
"Get through the hole already!"
Gabriel didn't ask questions. He followed Alexander's lead until they reached the hole in the wall and climbed inside. He froze, dead in his tracks, when he came face to face with some rat monster he'd never seen before. It squeaked frantically at him and tugged at his arm. His first instinct was to punch the thing in the face, but he held back. If the Tankle outside was Alexander, then the rat creature could have been Luca or Luna. Gabriel shook out his head and crawled forward, following the rat monster, who slowly morphed into Luna. She tugged on his arm until he fell out of the hole, crashing onto his back. Alexander hopped over him.
"We need to stay in cover. Don't go anywhere near any gaps in the walls," Luna's distant voice instructed.
Hartford grabbed Gabriel by the warped handle still clinging to his armor and dragged him out into the center of the room. Gabriel laid, motionless, trying to regain his breath and ease the pressure in his mind, to stop hearing voices and seeing things. The horrific siren outside boomed once more as the world shook with another blast, then another and another. The sirens were coming much faster, along with the earth-shaking explosions of energy. The storm built up to a crescendo. Dust shook loose from the old ruins, raining down upon them. Gabriel hoped the building would hold together. The way the world around them shook, he feared it was going to come down right on top of them, and there was nowhere else to go. Through the gaps in the building, brilliant streaks of blue flashed to hot white light. Gabriel's ears picked up the sound of howling winds. It came in increasingly powerful waves as he swore he heard debris being thrown about outside. Stones, rocks, old car wrecks. It was hard to tell through the slowly easing pressure in his mind. With one final thunderous boom, the storm fell silent as quickly as it came. An immediate sense of relief flowed over Gabriel. The crawling on his mind stopped. But it seemed the pressure on his skull and his pounding heart would take some time still to ease up. His gaze shifted to Luna, Luca, and Alexander. At least he hoped it was them. He was only seeing triple of them this time. But what they were shifted with every few blinks. One moment he saw his three friends watching him with worry. The next, Luna was back to being some sort of rat monster, wearing her leathers and furs. Alexander was a Tankle Hunter. And Luca was some sort of stony-skinned demon creature with blazing braids. But it was them. He was able to convince himself as much as the pressure eased from his mind.
Luna crawled over to his side, taking her hand in his.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?